All right, I know you're all excited about different things. I just heard this and I thought it was appropriate to share it with you. There was a pastor and his wife that went over to some of their people's house to have dinner after church on a Sunday. And when they got through with the lunch and they left, the pastors left, the lady of the house said to her husband, "I think the pastor stole one of our spoons." And a year went by, and the couple had the pastor and his wife over for dinner again the next year. And the wife just couldn't stand anymore, and so she had to ask the pastor, "Pastor, did you take one of our spoons a year ago?" And the pastor looked at her, and then he looked at her husband, and he said, "No, I set it right beside your Bible." You know what that means. She didn't touch a Bible for a whole year. I know that no one of you has that problem. Not because you don't touch your Bibles in a year, but because you don't invite your pastors for dinner. Yeah. I want a personal one. I want a public one. Those things that are done in secret will be made public now. Well, today is Palms. We celebrate Palm Sunday. And let me get things started here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is addressing the church at Corinth. And they have a big problem. There was sexual sin in that church, and the church was not doing anything about it. And in fact, they were basically condoning the sin by keeping quiet. And Paul reprimands the church and tells them to clean up their act because it wasn't good at all. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, there you go. Paul says to the Corinthians, "Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us." And you wonder, you know, Jesus is called by the Apostle Paul our Passover. And you say, "What is that, Pastor George?" Well, Passover was one of the seven feasts that the Lord gave to the people of Israel. And in fact, it was the most important one in the Jewish nation. We're going to look at the first Passover that the Lord instituted when he gave it to the Israelites. The scene is this. The Jews have been 400 years in captivity as slaves in Egypt. And they were having such a hard time. You know, generation after generation, you are born into slavery. You know, you were not guilty of anything, and yet you're born into slavery. And so finally, the Lord chooses a deliverer. He chooses Moses to deliver his people at the appointed time. And so God tells Moses to go talk to Pharaoh to let the people go from Egypt to the promised land that God had promised them. And Pharaoh said, "No way, you know, you're my slaves and you're going to work for me." And so God starts judging Israel with the 10 plagues that you so are so familiar with. And so the first nine plagues have already occurred, and all the judgment comes on the people of Egypt. And the people of Israel, they're protected from this judgment. And then comes the 10th plague. The Lord is ready to release the 10th plague. But before he does that, he speaks to Moses and says to Moses, in Exodus chapter 12, I'm going to portray it so that you read it. So hang in there with me. It's a little long scripture. It's 14 verses. But I want you to see with your eyes, not only hear it with your ears. Exodus 12, chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, 'This month shall be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you.'" In other words, we're starting a new calendar. Then he continues saying, "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, 'On the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it, according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish," very important, "a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now, you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month," from the 10th to the 14th. "Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its heads with its legs and entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hands. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against the gods, against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance." So this event, this call for the first Passover by the Lord, happened 1,300 years before Christ. Like I said, the children of Israel had been in slavery for 400 years in Egypt. And God chose Moses to lead the people in freedom from bondage. That's very important. God had poured the nine plagues on Egypt and was ready to strike with the last plague. Now, God wanted to protect the firstborn or the Israelites against the last judgment of the Egyptians. So he instituted this Passover. And we heard the details. First of all, a lamb no older than a year was to be chosen on the 10th day of that month, which is going to be called Nisan in the new Jewish calendar. That lamb could not have any physical imperfections. It had to be kept and watched and inspected during the 4 consecutive years before its slaughtering. Now, when I say that it had to be kept and watched, it implied that the family had to take that little lamb, less than a year old, had to take it to their houses. You know, most of the animals that they had, they stayed in a manger. This one that was chosen, they had to take it inside like a pet. They had to wash it every day, clean it, feed it, play with it. And there were always children in the houses. And so you can't help but get attached to a little animal like that. And I'm sure the children probably named the little lamb. But the parents said, you know, you can love it, you can take care of it, but remember, what is the purpose for this lamb? Remember that this lamb is going to pay for its life so that our lives are spared. So this was no ordinary sacrifice where, yeah, we're going to kill that animal out there. No, this was a personal thing. And then on the 14th, 4 days later, at 3 p.m. at twilight, it was to be killed, and then the blood of that sacrificial lamb, Passover lamb, would be collected, and the blood was applied to the doorpost of the residence. And so when God would come, when the angel of death would come at the appointed time, if there was blood on the doorpost and the lintel, then God would not judge that house. That house would be spared, and then he would go to another house. I want you to bear in mind that the children of Israel were protected by God alone from the first 9 plagues. But for the last plague, the Israelites had to take action to protect themselves with what the Lord had commanded them to do and provided for. God had a part, but the people also had a part. If an Israelite would not apply the Passover lamb's blood, then their firstborn son would die, even though they were Israelites. That didn't happen with the first 9 judgments, plagues. And so all the Israelites faithfully obeyed. They were all spared in their houses, but all the Egyptian houses, their animals, their children, the firstborn, they all died. And so Pharaoh's firstborn dies. And finally, after that strike, then Pharaoh says, go, get out of here. My son's dead now because of you. Get out. Now, Paul says in the scripture that what happened in the Old Testament is a picture of things to come. So even though that was in the natural, and that happened really, it paints us a picture of something that happened spiritually. And so Jesus himself said, all that Moses wrote, when he wrote, he spoke about me. Well, let's see how all of these pointed to Jesus. Jesus is, like I read in 1 Corinthians 5, he is our Passover. He is our Passover lamb. He was selected 4 days before the Passover celebration. We call this day Palm Sunday, what we celebrate today. It used to be called the Choosing Day, because that day they were supposed to choose the Passover lamb and take it home with them. And what happened in Palm Sunday in the Gospels? Jesus asked for a donkey. Very significant, because kings chose to ride a parade of celebration, not in a horse, but in a donkey. And so Jesus comes in a donkey, comes into Jerusalem 4 days before Passover. And this is why all the people and all the children were rejoicing over Jesus coming to Jerusalem. Our king is coming. The Passover lamb was just selected by Jerusalem, by Israel. The seed of David, the anointed one, the one who comes, blesses the one who comes in the name of the Lord. So the crowds, you know, Jerusalem was full of people from all over. The Jews came because Passover was one of the feasts that all the males had to come to Jerusalem to worship. So the streets and everywhere was filled of Jews that wanted to do Passover. And so when they see Jesus, you can read in the different gospels how some people reacted. Who is this? Who's coming? Oh, he's the Messiah. He's the one we were waiting for, the anointed one. So on that particular Sunday, as we call it now, Palm Sunday, he came and Jerusalem said, this is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Messiah has arrived. So the crowds selected the Passover lamb. Forgot to put that picture in there. Yeah. Obviously, this was more grandeur than that, but if you make it too big, then you don't know the details. So Jesus comes, people were throwing their clothes, cutting palm branches and putting them on the floor and saying, Hosanna to the Lamb of God, blessed is he who comes. And there was great rejoicing. Our king has finally arrived. And they were probably thinking, the Romans are about to be defeated. But something else happened. After Jesus comes into Jerusalem, daily for the next 3 days or four, he goes into the temple. He was watched in Jerusalem at the temple for those 3 or 4 days. He was inspected by the Pharisees, by the Sadducees, by the Herodians, by the scribes, and by many other people who asked questions, trying to trick him, trying to find out if there was any fault in him. That points out to the fact that you have to watch that little lamb, make sure that there are no imperfections, because a Passover lamb had to be spotless. And so the Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, and the scribes, they picked on Jesus, trying to find him with fault so that he could not comply with the requirements of Messiah. But they couldn't. They couldn't throw him off. And Jesus just proved that he was the perfect Lamb of God. And then on the night before Passover, he had supper with his disciples. He knew that he could not have the Passover meal with the disciples, so he chose the night before, just before his arrest. He spends time, and you know all the things that unfold there. If you don't, then read the Gospels. You need to. I don't want to find a spoon on your Bible. Then that same night, after he had supper, he was betrayed. He was arrested. He was unfairly tried. He was mocked. And finally, that morning, he was sentenced to death. That Thursday at 9 o'clock in the morning, he was finally nailed to a cross. And at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he stayed in that cross from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And at 3 o'clock that afternoon, he dies. And his blood is shed for mankind. At twilight on the 14th day. This picture that was painted 1,330 years before comes to be a reality in Jesus. This is Passover. So what does this have to do with you and with me? I'm glad you asked. You see, you and I were born in bondage as well. Just like the children of Israel were, that last generation was born into bondage. They didn't do anything wrong. They were just born into bondage. We were born in bondage because of what our forefathers did. They sinned against God, and we inherited that bondage. And so we need to personally select a lamb without blemish so that its blood can spare us from the angel of eternal death. Amen. And the only Passover lamb that qualifies is Jesus. But you have to choose him personally, each one of us, each one of you and I, in order for being spared from eternal judgment, we have to select the lamb. And that's why we call on people to realize Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. And when you select him and bring him to your home and invite him to be part of your temple, then his blood covers your home. And then when judgment, from that day forward, blood is in your doorpost. And when the angel of judgment comes in and said, are you fit to come into the kingdom of God? And the angel sees that blood in your heart. Oh, you follow the instructions. You have the Passover lamb's blood in you, enter into the kingdom. You are spared from the eternal judgment that is to come. When you receive the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, as your Savior, you are born again, and your destiny is now the promised land, eternity with Jesus. Moses' Passover was a picture of the true Passover. Jesus, the anointed deliverer of all of mankind. Musicians, would you come to the front? So, we celebrate Palm Sunday. And we say, well, what is this all about? Well, it is very important for me to ask you a few questions. Do you know the Lord? Do you know who he is? That he is eternal? That he had a virgin birth? That he is God made flesh? And that he loves you beyond what you can even understand love is all about? And then, have you received him into your house? Have you come to love him? Has he come to live in your home? Or is he still out there in a theological pasture? Or in your religious pasture, somewhere out there. Yeah, Jesus, but he's not home. We can know about Jesus, but or do we really know him as our Savior? You see, he's coming back for those who belong to him. Just as he said he was going to die at Passover, and he did, he said he's coming back for his people. My question to you is, will you be one of those? Will you be one of his? See, you need to make that decision before you die, or before Jesus comes back, which I believe is happening soon. The Bible says, now is the appointed time. Today is the day of salvation. You're not guaranteed a tomorrow. Choose Jesus this day. And what a better day to choose than choosing day. Palm Sunday, as we call it now. Jews used to call it choosing day. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we have decided to serve the Lord the rest of our lives. And when he comes back, we are going with him. So I'm going to close with a prayer. And if you have not made Jesus your Passover lamb, today is your day. You make sure that before you leave this place, you contact one of us, and we'll be glad to help you invite Jesus as your Passover lamb and find residence in your temple. Father, I thank you for giving us this beautiful picture before you sent your son, so that when he came, we would know for sure that Jesus is our true Passover lamb, that he did spill his blood for all of mankind to be delivered from the bondage of sin. Father, I pray that if there is anyone here today that has not invited Jesus to be their Savior, Lord, that you would touch those hearts, open up their understanding, and Father, draw them to you. I pray, Father, that this day, from this day forward, Father, this day would have a greater significance, not just a day to have fun, but for a day that we remember that we chose Jesus as our Passover lamb. And he leads us to see how that sacrifice unfolded, how he stayed in the grave for 3 days, but then he rose because death could not hold him. And Lord, as we approach Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday, Father, may it all come to a greater understanding of all that you have done for us, because you love us so much. Thank you, Father. I bless you, people. Now, Father, receive our worship, our adoration, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.